Hello, this is Karen Fresco with the News Gazette, dated Wednesday, March 11, 2020. We begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, "The Vote Is In, 4,224 3,597 Against, Mascot Madness on Campus. Kingfisher gets nod, but no plans yet to make it official," by Bob Asmussen. 23 years later, Scrappy is still going strong. In 1997, the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, introduced the costumed mockingbird as its new mascot. It was a hit then and remains so today. Scrappy's popular, UT Chattanooga senior associate athletic director Jay Blackman said Tuesday. In a non-binding poll, students at the University of Illinois are asking for their own feathered mascot, a belted kingfisher. The non-binding referendum, which passed by a margin of 4,222 to 3,597, came a year after a vote for Alma Otter as mascot was defeated by 297 votes. Now what happens? To begin discussions with the administration to talk about the kingfisher, Illinois Student Government President Connor Josellis said Tuesday, "Obviously, the referendum passed, which in my eyes is a huge step. The students saying they are ready to move on and they are ready to look for something new." Josellis wants to bring up the kingfisher with Chancellor Robert Jones. "The school has indicated there are no plans to add a mascot at this time. Hopefully, we can get some clarity on what the next steps look like. Soon," Josellis said. "We're very excited about it passing." The student body spoke. "We allowed the opportunity for all students to have input in it, and the majority of the students voted that they are ready to look into it." The school retired Chief Illiniwek more than 13 years ago, with the last performance on February 21, 2007. Illinois senior physics major Spencer Hulsey came up with the idea and design for the kingfisher. "She was surprised," her fellow students said yes. "What I've said since day one, we've never made it this far if it passes," she said. "If it does pass, then the university will take the reins and go from there. I hope the alums will get a chance to share their voice. I know that that risks getting turned down. I recognize that's a possibility. My argument against that would be we're trying to start new traditions. They got to have their symbol at games, and now I think it's time for us to have ours." Hulsey and Josellis favor addition, not subtraction. "I'm not trying to take away Fighting Illini. I'm not trying to get rid of Block 1," Hulsey said. "I'm not trying to make a political statement. What I am trying to do is invest in the future of school spirit." Whether the kingfisher is adopted or not, Hulsey hopes a system is put in place for future students to get their ideas heard. "I expect the administration will handle this as they see fit," Hulsey said. "That could mean a lot of different things. That could literally mean just ignore it. I hope it doesn't, but it could." Hulsey shared her ideas with the athletic department and several vice chancellors. "They all told me they're going to wait for the student vote," Hulsey said. "Now we have that." The athletic department is aware of the poll results. "We were not involved in the process with the student referendum," athletic department spokesman Kent Brown said Tuesday. "We've been working with the different campus groups as organized by the chancellor's office, and would always follow the lead as we've gone through that process with those groups." Hulsey, 22, is about to graduate. In 10 years, when she returns to campus, does she think the Kingfisher will be flying at Illini events? I loved going to football games, Halsey said. I would love to see a mascot on the sidelines having fun with a crowd. I can imagine it being a Kingfisher, people having cool mascot hats. Coronavirus response, from schools to stores, getting ready. And the first article under that headline, University of Illinois, U of I making sure profs can teach online if in-class instruction is postponed, by Ben Zichterman Urbana. While it's business as usual for now, the University of Illinois is exploring the possibility of having to shift to holding classes online due to the coronavirus pandemic. In a mass mail to the U of I community, McKinley Health Center Director Robert Parker wrote, "As you know, other universities have announced alternatives to in-person classes for their students. We are continuing to look at a variety of options for delivering classroom instruction in the event that face-to-face instruction needs to be suspended. Indiana University, Harvard, Ohio State, Columbia, Princeton, and colleges in hard-hit California and Washington State have already announced shifts to online classes. The U of I's College of Liberal Arts and Sciences sent a message to its instructors this week, encouraging them to start thinking about how they would teach remotely. We're just asking people to start preparing for that possibility, said Brad Peterson, the college's spokesman, and start thinking about basic things like, do you have the equipment you need to do this remotely? The campus does have a license with video conferencing company Zoom, so that is one option folks could use. On the athletic side, the NCAA is still planning to conduct our championships as planned, COO Donald Remy said, including next week's college basketball tournaments. However, we are evaluating the COVID-19 situation daily and will make decisions accordingly. In Parker's message, he advised those traveling for spring break to check with the CDC and State Department for travel advisories, noting that students returning from CDC Level 2 or 3 countries will be required to self-quarantine for 14 days before they can return to campus. The safety level of any given destination could change before or during your trip, making it difficult to return to campus by the March 23 resumption of classes, Parker wrote. For students leaving over spring break, Parker said, we strongly advise that you take with you everything that you would need to continue your studies if the decision was made to suspend in-person classes. The U of I also urged students studying abroad in Europe to leave the continent. It had already required students in Italy to leave. The incidences of coronavirus across Europe continue to increase. Given these circumstances, the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign strongly advises that students reconsider studying abroad in Europe and return to the United States, the U of I's International Safety and Security Office wrote. However, the university is not suspending programs at this time and is not requiring students to depart their program. The U of I's Facilities and Services Department said Tuesday that it is taking proactive steps to keep classrooms and campus buildings clean. Its workers will transition from routine cleaning to disinfecting twice daily. The cleaning of any visibly dirty surfaces will remain emphasized as part of the continued response to this emerging public health concern, followed by disinfection as a best practice measure for the prevention of COVID-19 and other viral respiratory illnesses, FNF Executive Director Mohamed Atala said. And while there aren't yet any confirmed cases in Champaign-Urbana, its threat has led to the postponement of at least one event on campus. The Carl R. Woese Institute for Genomic Biology postponed a symposium scheduled for late March, celebrating the 50th anniversary of the discovery of the enzyme Rubisco. The symposium organizing committee, in consultation with the university administration, have decided that it is prudent and necessary to postpone the Rubisco Oxygenase Symposium due to the COVID-19 situation. The symposium's website stated, "We are currently looking into new dates for the symposium for fall 2020. And the second article under that rubric, "Local Retailers, Hygiene Essentials in Short Supply," by Ben Zichterman, Champaign. Good luck finding hand sanitizer around town. On Tuesday, it was gone from the shelves at area Walgreens, CVS, County Market, Lowe's, Schnucks, Walmart, Target, and Meijer stores. Also either sold out or low in stock at some stores Tuesday, face masks, disinfecting wipes, rubbing alcohol, and toilet paper. Just a day earlier, County Market parent company spokesman Jerry Kettler described supply as okay, adding, "There's been a little bit of a rush on some hand sanitizer, but I think we're back in stock today, but that could change tomorrow." It did. The County Market on West Kirby Avenue in Champaign was expecting a shipment of hand sanitizer Tuesday, but it didn't arrive, store director Gary Jumper said. At the Schnucks in Urbana, local barber Joe Taylor was unable to find sanitizer. "I need it for my customers to protect them," he said. Taylor said he wasn't particularly concerned about the coronavirus, but wanted to be cautious. "I'm in the middle," he said. Taylor said he'd checked with Meijer, CVS, and Walmart before stopping at Schnucks, where he instead settled for disinfecting wipes that were still in stock. At the Champaign, Meijer, and Walmart, a handful of toilet paper rolls were all that remained Tuesday afternoon. Target still had plenty. At the Champaign Lowe's, signs warn customers that due to current high demand, select products are limited to 10 per customer. And a sign on the door at the Walgreens on East University Avenue in Urbana let customers know that "We are sold out of masks and hand sanitizer." Coronavirus around the state. First cases of illness diagnosed outside Cook County, by Ben Orner, Springfield. Illinois health officials on Tuesday announced the first cases of coronavirus illness in people outside Cook County. A McHenry County resident in his late teens and a Kane County woman in her 60s, who are likely the state's first cases of community spread. Neither of these cases have a travel history to an affected area or a connection with other known cases. Though officials are still investigating, they believe these are the first known instances of the virus spreading throughout the population without a clear origin. The two community spread cases are among 8 new cases of the illness known as COVID-19 that officials announced Tuesday during a news conference in Chicago, bringing Illinois' total to 19. The other 6 new cases are Cook County residents, 4 men and a woman in their 40s, a woman in her 60s, and a man in his 70s. The 8 new patients are in isolation and doing well, officials said. Public health officials are reaching out to people who had close contact with them. We want everyone to start thinking and preparing now for the virus to circulate more widely in the community, said Dr. Ngozi Ezike, director of the Illinois Department of Public Health. Social distancing will be important to slow and reduce and dampen the effect in our community. This may include canceling large events. Though the state's case total is 19, Governor J.B. Pritzker said several have since recovered and returned to normal life. Ezika said all current patients are stable. Officials also updated the most vulnerable populations, the elderly and people with underlying medical conditions, on how they can best guard against the virus. We are asking our older adults to limit their activities in the community, especially large indoor events, Ezika said. We are also recommending long-term care facilities and nursing homes to restrict visitors under the age of 18 and those with obvious cold, influenza, or potential COVID-19 infection. Pritzker said he is working with county election boards on possibly moving polling places out of nursing homes. I am very frustrated with the federal government, the governor said, as U.S. cases of the virus surpassed 800 on Tuesday. We have not received enough tests. Pritzker said the state would like to be able to test any person who shows symptoms or just wants to be tested, but said federal officials have not kept their word. We've been told now for weeks and days, indeed weeks, I would argue, that there are commercial labs that would be coming online, he said. We haven't seen it. The only places now able to test for COVID-19 are the 3 state-run labs in Chicago, Springfield, and Carbondale. From the local section, The Price is Right Live at State Farm Center. Home court advantage. A Danville native, promoter eager to show off truly exciting atmosphere. By Anthony Zillis, Champaign. The day after the Illinois men's basketball team beat Indiana on March 1, Daniel Hampel laughed when he saw himself in photos all over social media. Hampel wasn't the focus of the popular pictures. The Danville native just so happened to be sitting behind commit Adam Miller, who Illini fans hope becomes the next freshman sensation when he arrives on campus next season. I must have had 3 or 4 different friends text that to me, Hampel said. I wish I had known, and I could have gotten a little better pose going. Hampel, though, is used to working behind the scenes rather than the focus of photos. One of the reasons he was at the game, aside from being a lifelong Illini fan, was to check out the facilities for Thursday's The Price is Right Live show at 7:30 p.m. at State Farm Center. For the last 4 years, the Schlarman grad has worked to bring the show to State Farm Center, where he remembers watching the Illini drop number 13 Michigan State, 84-63, in 1998 on their way to a Big Ten title. Hampel promotes The Price is Right Live through his job as managing director of the Roberts Group, an Indianapolis-based company that promotes events like touring Broadway shows. He had already brought The Price is Right to Normal and Springfield. He took it to Lincoln, Nebraska, 2 years ago, on the same day the Illini played Nebraska. But the Midwest legs of the tour conflicted with the Illinois basketball season, and a space like the Virginia Theater wasn't conducive to a show with massive props, including the iconic wheel. After 4 years of trying, he brought it close to home. I remember asking, is early March okay, or do you have to hold dates for potential NIT games, Hample said. They joked with me, we don't plan on playing in the NIT next year. I said, great, that's what I want to hear. Those words will likely prove prophetic. The number 21 Illini are shoe-ins for their first NCAA tournament berth since 2013. Nearly everything about the show, Hample said, will be the same as the one that airs daily on CBS, aside from the fact that Todd Newton will host rather than Drew Carey. Another difference will be that 5 new names will be added to the Come On Down for all of the 9 or 10 rounds. It's a truly exciting atmosphere, he said. It's the opportunity for people who may never be able to make the trip to Hollywood to see a live taping and to get the next best thing. Hample's company has promoted live versions of other game shows over the years, including Family Feud, America's Got Talent, and Dancing with the Stars. But none have worked nearly as well as The Price is Right, which they have booked 130 times. For Hample, though, this particular date stands out. I'm very excited, he said. In 15 years, it will be the closest to home where I've ever presented a show. We're doing over 100 shows this year, and this is by far the most excited I am for any of them. Even 3 weeks of Wicked, to bring The Price is Right live to Central Illinois and Champaign-Urbana. Illinois prisons. Bill aims to limit isolation. Technique was torture, man says. By Peter Hancock, Springfield. An Illinois man who spent 20 years in solitary confinement after being convicted of a minor theft and later driving without a license is now helping lead a push for legislation to limit the use of isolation in state prisons. Anthony Gay, who served 24 years in prison, wept during a news conference Tuesday as he explained his experience. When the conditions of confinement were psychologically eating me inside out, instead of being removed from solitary confinement and offered adequate psychological counseling, I was prosecuted, given 100 years, and buried deeper in solitary confinement for symptoms of mental illness that solitary confinement created, he said. Representative LaShawn Ford, Democrat of Chicago, the lead sponsor of House Bill 182, said it will be known as the Anthony Gay Isolated Confinement Restriction Act. It would put strict limits on the use of solitary confinement for disciplinary purposes. Among other things, it would limit such confinement to no more than 10 consecutive days, or 10 days in a 180-day period. Also, it would require that when inmates are out of their cells, they have access to activities, group therapy, medical treatment, meals, classes, job assignments, visits, and exercise. Ford called the use of extended solitary confinement devastating and unconstitutional. But so far, the bill has not had a hearing in the House committee that deals with criminal judicial matters. Ford, however, said he hopes to get the bill through the House before the end of March and send it to the Senate. We have a strong, compelling argument with Mr. Gay, and I think we have a very liberal governor who believes in change like this, Ford said. Gay, who has filed previous unsuccessful suits over the same issues, alleges his treatment amounted to torture in violation of his constitutional rights, as well as the Americans with Disabilities Act. The case is pending in the Central District of Illinois. According to that lawsuit, Gay was first arrested as a teenager after getting into a fight with another teen who told police that Gay had stolen his hat and a $1 bill. He pleaded guilty to robbery and was placed on probation. He later violated his probation by driving a car without a license. In 1994, at age 20, he was sentenced to prison. His lawyers argue in the complaint that with good behavior, he could have been out in 3.5 years. However, they argue Gay's borderline personality disorder began to manifest itself. He started acting out in ways that extended his prison sentence. In 1998, he was placed in solitary confinement and, according to the lawsuit, remained there for 20 years. During that time, the lawsuit alleges, he was kept isolated in a small cell for 23 hours a day and did not have access to mental health care. Champaign County Board. Chair's pick for treasurer approved. First Latina to hold job set to start today. By Deborah Pressey, Urbana. A new Champaign County treasurer was set to be on the job this morning. On Tuesday night, the county board confirmed Chairman Geraldo Rosales' appointment of Marisol Hughes, a 51-year-old accountant, to take over for Laurel Prussing, the elected treasurer who resigned January 31. Hughes, whom Rosales chose from about a dozen applicants, was sworn in at a special board session Tuesday night. She will serve as treasurer until November 30, Rosales said. Voters will choose a treasurer in November to finish the rest of Prussing's 4-year term, and Rosales said Hughes is likely to be the slated Democrat running for that office. Hughes, who lives in Champaign, is bilingual and a native of Ecuador. She holds a bachelor's degree in accounting and a master's degree in auditing, and has worked as a self-employed CPA and in other accounting and bookkeeping jobs. Hughes thanked the board and told members she wants to hear from them. "I am very grateful to be here and to be a part of this wonderful community that has been so welcoming," she said. Rosales said Hughes will be the first Latina to serve as county treasurer. Champaign-Urbana Savoy Schnucks. Grocery chain closes gas stations. By Deborah Pressey. The fueling centers at Schnucks grocery stores in Champaign, Urbana, and Savoy have closed for good due to declining business. Those three former Schnucks Express fueling centers in this area and one other in Festus, Missouri, had all been leased since 2016 to Wallace Oil, a Cuba, Missouri-based company that operated the stations for the past few years. "We ended our agreement with Wallace effective March 5," said Erica Van Ross, spokeswoman for the St. Louis-based Schnucks Markets. Van Ross said traffic at those fueling centers had decreased over the past 18 months, and Schnucks plans to make the recent closures permanent. Schnucks will be removing the canopies and working with Wallace and environmental consultants to safely remove the fuel tanks, she said. "We're expecting the whole process to be completed by mid-summer," Van Ross said. The grocery chain will also be working with potential tenants to occupy the small retail buildings that once served fueling center customers. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette, dated Wednesday, March 11, 2020. Please stay tuned.